The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. We're dealing with Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew today. So let me pause over Joseph and learn a little bit about who he is and perhaps the teaching of the Word of God. My objective, my hope in these proclamations every Sunday is not just a teaching moment or an insight into God's revelation, but somehow an invitation to animate your interest in reading the Word of God. So let me look at this Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, as you know, is a Jewish gospel. It comes out of the Church of Matthew, which is made up of Jewish converts to following Jesus Christ. Luke's gospel, as you know, is directed toward the Gentiles. So what do we know about Joseph? In the Gospel of Matthew, which is Jewish, the genealogy of Jesus is traced from Abraham down to Joseph. It's a legal genealogy. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the father of Joseph is named as Jacob. In the Gospel of Luke, which is Gentile, he reverses the order, and the construct is to trace the genealogy of Jesus from Joseph back to Adam, Gentile gospel. And in Luke's gospel, the father of Joseph is named Eli. And therefore you have a different tradition about who exactly the father of Joseph was. They remember differently, which goes to show us that we learn very little about Joseph in all four Gospels. The only teaching Gospel we have about Joseph is Matthew. The others give him very little attention. Mark, one reference in Mark, refers to Jesus as the son of the carpenter. And carpenter is not a good translation. The Greek is tekton, which means an artisan, which means he would have worked with wood, but also with metals and various other items of trade. So he is the son of the carpenter, the tekton, the artisan. Outside of that, we learn very little about Joseph. However, in the Gospel of Matthew, being a Jewish gospel, they want to remember Joseph way back in the book of Genesis. And way back in the book of Genesis, Joseph, as you remember, you know, the amazing technicolor coat, the dream coat. Joseph, way back in the last chapters of the book of Genesis, we have Joseph, the dreamer. Remember Joseph the dreamer? And he had these dreams, and the Pharaoh was enlightened by the dreaming of Joseph, and Joseph became a powerful man in Egypt, and Joseph, through his dreams, saved his people. Keep in mind, too, that this Church of Matthew will remember that the Pharaoh decided to destroy Moses, who would lead his people to the Promised Land. And such was the intention of the Pharaoh to kill Moses, the boy child who would lead the people of Israel. And through a miraculous intervention, Moses was saved, and Moses will lead the people out of Egypt into freedom. Now, Jesus is the new Moses. This is what the Matthew church wants to remember. So we have the Pharaoh, and now we have Herod. We have the dreamer, Joseph, way back then in Genesis, and now we have the dreamer, Joseph, now the foster father of Jesus. And he has four dreams. One of them is in the gospel today. You remember the next dream? Take the child to Egypt in a dream. Bring the child back from Egypt. And the fourth dream, take the child north to Nazareth because Jerusalem is not safe. He was a dreamer, Joseph the dreamer. And the Church of Matthew will remember that Joseph the dreamer in the Old Testament saved his people through his dreams. And now Joseph the dreamer in the life of Jesus will be instrumental in saving the new Israel, in saving Jesus Christ and those who will follow. Now that's important to keep in mind. Otherwise, we know little or nothing about Joseph. The Gospels tell us nothing about him. Keeping in mind, however, that the Gospels are not to tell us about Joseph. The Gospels are to reveal Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the Gospel. Everything else is secondary after that. The proclamation of the Messianic Jesus given to us in redeeming presence. That's the meaning of the Gospels. Therefore, everything else is secondary to reinforce the central proclamation of the Word of God. There is a teaching, however, that comes from this reflection on Joseph. He's a righteous man. And by the way, rather interestingly, he never says anything. He's probably the ideal husband. He's very quiet. And he does everything he's told, it appears. So in some ways, he's a model for the ideal husband. You know, he's kind of quiet, and he just follows whatever he's told to do. Maybe not all the men might agree with that, but I'll let that go. However, looking at Joseph here, he is a righteous man, which means he's not so much one that is legalistic and following the law, the letter of the law. He is one that interprets the spirit of the law. Now, this will come up even in recent conversations. I went to see The Two Popes, this movie that's out and is getting lots of acclamation. And there's a tension here, and it's not meant to be precisely historical, but it does have some existential value and some application to the present moment in the history of the church. And you have Benedict, who is the Pope, who is very ecclesial. He's very strong on the tradition of the church and the letter of the law. And we have Cardinal Bergoglio, who comes to see him, and he says, I know, but Jesus was compassionate. Yes, but you can't give communion to people who are married out of the church. And we go through this whole tension between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. You find this, and it has some value. I mean, just yesterday, speaking to the Curia, all the cardinals and all these important clerics in the Vatican, the Holy Father said, don't live by the letter of the law. Live by the spirit of the law. And those who are rigid and legalistic, the Pope says, are hiding some imperfection in their own lives. And this is their disguise, by being literal and legalistic and being judgmental, excluding people. Clearly, the whole papacy of Pope Francis has to do with the interpretation of the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the law. Well, that's the tension that appears here in the life of Joseph. If he's going to follow the letter of the law, that's the Mosaic law, Mary will be shamed. But the dream says, don't follow the letter of the law. It is by the Holy Spirit that this child is conceived. Follow the spirit of the law. Follow compassion. Follow welcoming. Do not be afraid. Don't be fearful. In the Bible, do not be afraid. That phrase appears 365 times. Once for each day of the year, as it were. Don't be afraid. Don't be literal. Don't hesitate. Be free. And now we have Joseph. He's caught in a conflict, such as we have to encounter at times. And the conflict is between the letter of the law and the spirit revealed to him in a dream, which is symbolic of a conscience. Your conscience comes to you. You will find this in your own life. Especially, we're coming up to Christmas now. You're carrying a conflict inside of you. It's an unhealed wound. It's a resentment out of the past. It's the absence of reconciliation. It's feeling left out. It's feeling neglected. Somebody is unappreciative of a gift. You have sacrificed for somebody and you are not acknowledged. And you will feel inside of yourself, as if from a dream, your conscience will be disturbed. You know you're conflicted. In the spiritual order, it's called a disturbed soul. Your soul is disturbed. There's something. I found this myself. So when I get up in the morning and I say, isn't this wonderful? It's a new day. It's just fantastic. It's wonderful. Praise God. The sun came up and I'm given the gift of a new day and life is wonderful. And then sometimes I get up and say, there's something wrong. I mean, I just know it. And I have to stop for a few moments to think what it is. But it's a conflict. Might be a conflict I had with somebody. It might be the unguarded word. It might be that I offended somebody. It might be that I have to ask for forgiveness. It might be I was too severe or too judgmental about somebody. I excluded or wounded somebody. It happens. And that's Joseph. He has a conflict. And his conscience leads him, as if through a dream, his conscience leads him and say, if you're going to err, err through kindness. Now, in the first half of my priesthood, I was institutional in my thinking. I was part of the great structure of the church. And the canon law was very dominant, and following the letter of the law was very important. And that was the way it was. But now we're in a new age. We're in an age of compassion, of understanding. We're in an age where we bless people, welcome people, understand people. And now, in this condition, we will have peace of soul. Now, who in your families is separated? What misunderstanding is there? And it comes to the surface more likely about this time of the year. We had a penance service here in the past week. When you look at your life and you think you need to invoke forgiveness, all sin is connected to relationships. The sin of greed, selfishness, the sin of misunderstanding, the lack of compassion, the sin of division. It's a poverty. You know, we speak about homeless people and various poverty, but there's a hidden poverty. It's a poverty of conflict. It's a poverty of division. The poverty of misunderstanding. And it will be healed in the spirit of the law. It will not be reconciled in the letter of the law. That's the teaching here. The dream for us is your conscience. There's a familiar story told about, it's a Native American story about this young man comes to the wise man and says, I have a conflict inside of me. It's as if there are two wolves fighting one another inside of me. And one is a fierce, angry, dominant, strong, controlling wolf. The other is kind and gentle and wounded. And they're in conflict. And so which one is winning? And the wise man said, the one you feed the most. Which spirit do you feed? That's the teaching of Joseph. He has a conflict. You have a conflict. And I have a conflict. Listen to the dream, which is the conscience, and be healed. Amen.